measure of your church is not how well you do on Sunday morning. The test of the church is what it does in the marketplace. We need churches today that are representative of Jesus Christ, not only when they gather, but also when they
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of, yes, I found religion. I found it to be absolutely worthless. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of, yes, I found religion. I found it to be absolutely worthless.
Instead of us trying to restore people, you know, we're going around leaving a trail of blood wherever we go. And we gore people. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, people have these cattle horns on, right? These longhorns, Texas longhorns, we have them on. And we just go around walking and just ripping people apart and just tearing people apart. And sometimes we don't even know it. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? How can a person that's doing that actually know that they're doing it? And this is the only thing that the Holy Spirit gave me. The Holy Spirit said, you know what? You just need to stop. Now, I'm not talking to anybody else but you, all right? So don't think, when I get ready to tell you this, don't think about anybody else but you, all right? So the person that just now came to your mind, go ahead and put them out right now. Don't think anybody else but you. And just think about you. If you find yourself always in conflict with other people, if you find yourself having to go back and apologize and going back let me take that back, because see, sometimes when you're goring people like that, you don't even know that you did it, so you don't apologize, all right? But you find yourself in conflict. I want you to ask yourself this question. Could it be me? Could it be me? See, you know, I'm in conflict here, conflict there, conflict there, conflict there, conflict over here. And I need to ask myself the question, I'm in all this conflict. Is it me? It's not my father, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So there are people who gore others. There are people who ignore others. Now, this guy, Levite and the priest, chances are pretty good. They just left the temple. They just left the house of God. They just left singing, "Great is our Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve." And you done got your praise on, and you done lifted him on high, and you done came to the house of God, and you got a good feeling, and then you go out, and you see somebody in need, and you walk right by. I found religion. I found that it's absolutely worthless. People who gore people, people who ignore people. But I believe that when we look at this parable today, what God is looking for, God is looking for people who restore people. He's looking for those that will take the time and bend down over that wounded person and lift that wounded person up and nurse that individual back to health again. Three types of people in the world. Then we ask the question. The man, Jesus, answered the lawyer's question before he even got to the end of the parable. In the first couple lines of the parable, Jesus answers the man's question. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? First of all, Oh, it's mighty quiet in here this morning. It's mighty quiet. Brother Andy Lane is not here, that's right. All right. Amen. I like that little noise there. I love it. Who is my neighbor? The disrobed? They stripped him of his raiment. Who is my neighbor? The distressed? They wounded him. Who is my neighbor? The despairing? They left him for dead, without hope. Who is my neighbor? Anyone who has a need is my neighbor. And so we can't narrow this thing down to who we feel comfortable fellowshipping with. We can't narrow this down to who we want to help. But who is my neighbor? My neighbor is anyone who comes into my path that has a need. Many of you, when you leave this place today, you will go on your Jericho road. And on your Jericho road, you're going to find somebody that's laying there, disrobed, distressed, and disheartened. You're going to find someone lying there on your Jericho road who needs a good Samaritan to stop by and reach a hand of mercy, to give a voice of cheer. And you're going to find somebody on your Jericho road, and you don't need to ask the question, is this person a friend or a foe? You don't need to ask the question, how in the world did you end up in this situation? You don't need to ask the question, is this person a Baptist? You don't need to ask the question, is this person the same color as me? You don't need to ask the question, is this person in my family, in my tribe, in my background? Do they speak my language? Do they wear the same clothes that I wear? Do they wear their pants up or halfway down? You don't need to ask the question. If the person is in need, Jesus says, that's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The disrobed, the distressed, and the despairing. And we see people who fall into this category all around us. We see people outside the doors of this church who are disrobed, distressed, and despairing. And we can come in here and drive in all dressed up, looking good, riding good, and leave here never touched by the people that were beaten up on the Jericho Road. And God, I asked the question at the beginning of the series, and for those of you who are concerned, I got this week and next week, and I'm done. Somebody say, let's move on to something else now. All right, let's move on. But when you think about, you know, your Jericho Road, that you will see people who are beaten, and God has called us to reach out and meet the needs of those who are hurting. Meet the needs of those who have, what did Jesus say in Matthew 25? He said, I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in jail and you came to see me. When did we do that, Jesus? When did we do that? Oh, man, I would have liked to known, Jesus, if you didn't have clothes, I'd make sure you have clothes, Jesus. If you didn't have anything to eat, Jesus, I'd make sure that you had something to eat. If you were in jail, Jesus, or if you were sick, you better believe I'd make it on down to Shadyside or Allegheny. You better believe that, Jesus. When did I do it? In that you did it to the least of these. The least of these. Not the most of these. Not the most of these dignitaries. But in that you did it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. Who is my neighbor? So I close this morning with a religion that's worth something? What is a religion that is worth something? Look at the text again, Luke chapter 10. And Jesus asked a question in verse 36. Now, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said unto him, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Mercy. What is the word mercy? It comes from the Greek word eleos, and it means kindness or good will toward the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. This is what Jesus says that we should do to our neighbor, that we should show them kindness, that we should show them goodness, especially those that are in misery and those that are afflicted, and that we should couple that with a desire to help them. What is a religion that's worth something? There's a mercy that feels. He had a compassion on him. There's a mercy that heals. He bound up his wounds. And there's a mercy that seals. What do I mean there? It seals the deal. See, a lot of times we want to help somebody, but we want to help them on our own terms, and we want to help them as long as we want to help. But what did this man say? He said, when I come back, if he owes you anything more, let me know. He stayed with him. He took care of him all the way until the end. And if we are going to have mercy, first of all, we need to have a mercy that feels. What is a mercy that feels? It says that the man, when he saw him, he had compassion. The word compassion comes from the Greek word splanchomai, and it actually deals with, and I hate to talk about this before lunch, but it talks about the bowels, and it talks about feeling something down in the bowels, and that whenever you feel something in the bowels, that you're feeling it deep down inside. And Jesus said that whenever we see somebody in need, that there ought to be something that wrenches at our gut. You know, one of the things that I feel very uncomfortable about, a lot of times, being the last person in the church. I feel very uncomfortable. And not because I'm worried about somebody taking me down. You know, I don't know karate, but I know karaza. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But one of the things that makes me very uncomfortable is for a woman, especially one that I don't know, to show up or be in the building, which has happened to me one time. Me and Jeff Taylor, we were standing in the lobby, and it was a lady from out in the North Hills, and one of her friends got mad at her and drove her to Homewood and kicked her out of the car. And she's out on the church knocking on the door. It was hot, man. It was about 90-some degrees. And I went over there. I was glad Jeff was there that day. And she said that she needed a drink of water. She just wanted a drink of water. I said, praise the Lord, we can do that. And I began to witness to the lady and tell her about Christ. And, you know, she said that she knew that she needed to get her life right. And she was walking barefooted through the community. But there was another occasion when I had finished teaching Bible study and everybody was gone. And the lady waited till everybody left. And then she came up to me. And she said that she didn't have a place to stay. It was cold and it was raining. And I just began to pray. I said, oh, Lord, you know, I just feel very uncomfortable. And so I said, well, let's go downstairs. So we went downstairs, and praise God that there was a couple saints, ladies. Praise God, there was a couple ladies that was down, still down here waiting. The last ones I said, God had this thing orchestrated, man. He had it orchestrated. And so I came down there, and the lady sensed that it was an uncomfortable situation, and they began to ask some questions. Well, to make a real long story short, you know, we were able to open up the home across the street. Now, she had checked all the shelters, and we had checked the shelters, and they weren't taking her. They said if she had kids, that they would have took her, but because she was by herself and it was so late that, you know, she couldn't get a place. And so one of the things that we felt, man, just can you imagine what it would be like to know that you're going to be out in the cold and the rain, because it was raining that night too, that you're going to be out in the cold and in the rain with no place to go. I felt that, man. I felt that. Because I know I was getting in my car, and I know I was going home. And I know that I had heat in my house, and I know I had a roof over my head. But can you imagine what it would feel like to not have any place and to know that you're going to be out there in the street and no telling who you might run up against? I felt that, man. And the ladies that were with me, we felt it. And we went over there and was able to open up the house and let her stay in there, found her some blankets and a place to lay her head. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that this Good Samaritan, what did he do? He felt it. He had compassion. He saw the man laying there, bruised and bloody. He felt it. And a religion that is worth something, it feels. But a religion that's worth something, it also heals. Because what did he do? He bound up the man's wounds. He was a part of the healing process. You know, the problem with a lot of people out in the street is that we got stuff in here that they can't use. I mean, why? I heard a story about, this guy, he was trying to find directions, and he came up to two guys that were working construction. And he said to them, "Sprechen Sie Deutsch?" And they looked at him. He said, "Habla Español?" And they looked at him. He said, "Parlez-vous français?" And they looked at him. And the man got frustrated and went and got in his car and left. And the one guy said to the other, he said, "Man, I guess we're going to have to learn a foreign language." He said, "Well, what use?" He said, "He could speak three," and it didn't do him any good. I can't use it, man. I can't use it, right? I can't use it. What you got, you telling me about Jesus Christ? You telling me about he saves me? And I believe that I'll die preaching that message. Y'all know me. I'll die preaching that message. And I know that that's what the lost soul needs. I know that's the number one thing that they need. But most people, when you tell them, "I can't use that. I can't, Jesus, I can't use that. Yo, I sit down and I talk to brothers. They come to the kitchen. I can't use that. This is where I'm at, right here." And you know what? Jesus realized that people couldn't use a lot of stuff. And so why? He could have came talking about, "I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm going to give you eternal life," which he did. But what did he do a lot of times before he even got to that message? He met whatever need that they had so that now the person is ready to listen and they're ready to hear because he met the need. And a lot of times, you know, we just giving people stuff they can't use. And so we as a church need to realize, man, that we got to have something that folks can use. You know, I remember a song that I used to hear, and it said this: "Go to church on Sunday, sleep and nod, trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with fright, trying to tell us what they think is right. They got to be some kind of nut. I can't use that stuff. Trying to make it real? Compared to what? I can't use that stuff." And so we got to give people something that they can use, something that is meaningful, something that's tangible. And by all means, we got to give them the gospel. And there's no question about that. I like what St. Augustine said. He said, preach the gospel by all means and use words if necessary. Preach the gospel by all means and use words if necessary. See, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And we can throw programs and resources at folk, but somewhere in the midst of it, there needs to be relationship. Somewhere in the midst of it, there needs to be a heart connection. Because that's real. I can use that, but that other stuff you got, I can't use that, man. A mercy that feels, a mercy that heals, and a mercy that seals. That we see it all the way through. The man said, whatever he spends more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Somebody said this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, and as long as you can. Do good. As I close today, there's a African parable that is told about some slaves who were on an island, St. John Island, off the coast of South Carolina. And the slaves were toiling in the hot sun, picking cotton. And there was one lady, and she was very gifted because she was able to pick cotton, and also she had a little boy that she was able to hold in her arms. And as she picked cotton and held the little boy, eventually the lady passed out. And the little boy got down and he said, come on, Mom, get up. Get up, Mom. If the slave drivers come, they're going to begin to beat you. Get up, Mom. And the mother laid there exhausted. And there was an old man there. They called him preacher, prophet. The slave drivers hated him, and they called him the devil. And the little boy looked to the preacher, and he said, do something. It's time to do something. He looked to the preacher, do something. It's time to do something. And the preacher came over to the lady laying on the ground, and he whispered in her ear the word, Kuliba, Kuliba. And the lady began to be energized and began to rise up and began to fly in the sky. And the preacher began to go to all the slaves and began to whisper in their ear, Kuliba, Kuliba. And the slaves all began to rise up. And the slave drivers, they got upset. And they said, stop it. Stop it. Bring them back. And the old prophet said, once they get the word in them and they learn how to fly, you can't bring them back. Once they get the word in them and they learn how to fly, you can't bring them back. My question to Bethany is today, are we part of a church? Are we a part of a ministry that's empowering people to fly?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of God Uses Things and Loves People. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Yes, I Found Religion, I Found It to Be Absolutely Worthless, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Yes, I Found Religion, I Found It to Be Absolutely Worthless. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Yes, I Found Religion, I Found It to Be Absolutely Worthless. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.